Please be seated. The love of Jesus is one of the most amazing realities that we could ever remember. Regardless of how we feel, we must inform our hearts with what's real. And that's the reality of Christ's love for his people that he proved forever, irrefutably at the cross. So let's call these things to mind now in communion. Have you ever felt hopeless? Maybe you feel hopeless now. Have you ever been in a trial? We all have. We are about to hear from God's word what can bring hope in the midst of even the most unimaginable suffering. This message of hope will come from a remarkable place, a book about suffering. Turn in your Bibles to Lamentations 3. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, the prophet, weeping over the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar's armies. If you're looking for Lamentations, it's one book to the right of Jeremiah. So here's the setting. After hundreds of years, marked by progressively worsening disobedience, God punishes and purifies his chosen people through conquest and deportation. Over and over again throughout the Old Testament, God had promised that his love, his steadfast love, would not depart from his people. But now Jerusalem has been sieged, destroyed. God's people starved, humiliated, murdered. The king deported, the priests and the leaders slaughtered. God's temple, even Yahweh's house, decimated. And Jeremiah cried out to God throughout the book of Lamentations, mourning Judah's sins and wailing, lamenting the suffering that he and God's people were feeling. He felt alone, forsaken by God, even like Yahweh was out to get him. But regardless of how Jeremiah felt, regardless of even what he was seeing, there was a truth so precious and powerful that when he recalled it, he had hope. He was careful to inform what he felt with what was real. Let's read Lamentations 3:21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The hope that Jeremiah had wasn't wishful thinking, like I hope the Cardinals win the Super Bowl. Jeremiah's hope was a confident hope, grounded in the most sure of all realities. It was grounded in God's own revelation of who he is. It was a hope that didn't minimize pain and suffering, didn't make light of the trial. But it was confident and filled with praise in the midst of it. But what was it that he called to mind that brought him hope? Look to the next sentence. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. He reminded himself and his readers of what he knew was true: God's faithful love for his people and his merciful daily provision. It felt like God had abandoned him, but he preached this truth to his heart: the steadfast love of Yahweh never ceases. Jeremiah knew that this was true from God's word. When God revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 34, he called himself merciful and gracious keeping steadfast love to thousands. Jeremiah could look back on how God showed his unceasing, steadfast love to his people through the stories of the Old Testament. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, the judges, King David, and it went on and on. Jeremiah had a hope that transcended his circumstances, and that hope was rooted in the character of God. This, like I said, this hope didn't minimize the reality of suffering. The suffering was great. But it took hope that even in the suffering, God was in control. And his sovereign work in that suffering was being driven by his character, his ceaseless, steadfast love. And how much more evidence of God's grace and love do we have to look at, Christian, than Jeremiah had? This same God in whose love Jeremiah hoped came to earth as Jesus and died and rose again and is reigning in heaven. That reigning God, Christian, loves you. The cross is irrefutable evidence that God's steadfast love never ceases. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian, God died for you. He placed your sin and wickedness on Jesus, and he crushed him for it, putting it away forever. Our future in heaven is secure. God is sovereign over everything, and this same love for you, which drove Jesus to the cross, is the same love that is controlling every single molecule in existence, every circumstance that you find yourself, have found yourself in, or will ever find yourself in, no matter what trial or suffering. God's love that drove him to die for you is in control over that. He means it for your good. Each day, every morning when you wake up, whether it's a day filled with successes or suffering, is a day filled with his mercies, controlled by his steadfast love for you. Like Jeremiah said, his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Let's praise him for that with Jeremiah. Great is your faithfulness, O God. At communion, we take a little piece of bread and a cup. They're physical reminders of Jesus and his unceasing, steadfast love that drove him to the cross. Call this to mind. If you're in the midst of suffering, let this reality bring you true hope and comfort. And if you're not presently in a trial, may this remembrance, this calling to mind, prepare you for the next one that's sure to come. And may it help you see your successes and your joys rightly. Jeremiah wrote in the next verse, 3:24, Yahweh is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. This is like saying, in comparison to all that I have or that I've lost, Yahweh is all I have ever needed or will ever need. He's my only possession. If you're rich and comfortable, or you lose it all, if God's your everything, like Jeremiah, you can say, Yahweh is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. But if God's not your portion, you have no hope. Let me say that again. If God is not your portion, you have no hope. If God is your portion, you have nothing but hope. And if he's not, this world is all you have. And when it's gone, you will face holy God as your judge. And unless your sins have been paid by Jesus' atoning death, and unless his righteousness has been credited to you, you'll be found guilty, hopeless, in hell. So I beg you to turn from your sins and cling to God. And this hope that I proclaimed can be your hope. If you will not repent, please let the bread and juice pass by. This is a time for Christians. But for all who have this hope, call to mind now with the bread and juice. Call to mind God's ceaseless, steadfast love and never-ending mercies as we remember and proclaim Christ together. Men, come forward and please take communion on your own.